is the Lord. Thank you. You might be seated if you can. And if you can't, stand up. That's okay. It's a high honor to be in God's house once again today. The Lord has been so good and gracious. Such a blessing to come to Lorain, Ohio, to minister the word of the Lord Jesus Christ. Give that brother another hand clap. He did a marvelous job on that violin. What a blessing. What a blessing of the Lord. Hallelujah. I was going to play them songs myself, but I decided since he didn't. No, I'm just joking. Hallelujah. God is so good to us. How many of you watch our television show? You better watch it. It cost me millions of dollars. You better watch that show. You will go to hell if you don't watch that show. No, I'm just joking. But God's been so good and gracious to us, and we're so glad that we're here tonight. The Lord has been so wonderful. I've been hearing about Ohio just flooding away, you know, everywhere, all over the place. But I got here. It's pretty nice weather. Glory to God. We got a lot of rain in New Orleans right now instead of... So I thought, man, I'm coming to some good weather. Praise the Lord. Jesus has been so good and gracious. I want to find out if you may have seen us on television or whatever, and that's fine. But if this is the first time you've ever seen us in person, stand to your feet. Let me just check. My God, look at this. Where have y'all been? You may be seated. Glory to God. Praise the Lord. I thank you for coming out. And the Lord is so good and gracious. Real quickly, I brought some books and video DVDs. I've heard them all. They're very good. Just real quickly before I get in there, let me have them there. What else you got here? Let me see. We got all kind of stuff here. Let me start with this here. Hold that one last. Praise the Lord. I preached this morning on television, on the King's Meat. Everybody looking to have a bite of the King's Meat, but you might know, have you ever asked where that meat's been before you got to eat it? So everybody's thinking, boy, if I can just get to the king, I can get all this. Because you don't judge the index of a church by its money or by its prosperity or its spirituality, you see. Just because a church got money don't mean that it's spiritual. See what I'm saying? And I preached this message, and I made up my mind that a lot of people, especially in this day and time, are eating a lot of king's meat. They're wanting it, but they don't realize it's already been offered to idols. And they won't make a commitment to God to stand and complete and do what the Lord says to do. This is powerful. I'm telling you, it will minister because it opens up where the rubber meets the road. So you'll find out what's right and really what's right and what's wrong that's going on in the circles. And the Bible said in the last days, even the elect would be deceived. So if it was possible, even the elect would be deceived. So you got to know those things. That's back there if you'd like to get that. And then this, I love this sermon. Glory to God. I preached it at our home church. God's ears are bigger than yours. And I got this from a man. He was real mad. So he saw me. He said, "You just did the plans, aren't you?" I said, "Yes, I am." He said, "I want to tell you something." He said, "I've been praying and praying and praying. I ain't had no more spit in my mouth. I pray God just never hears me at all. I pray all the time. You told me to pray. I pray all the time. God never just hears me." I said, "Well, why don't you just cuss?" He looked at me and said, "Well, go on, cuss good, man. Use some of them four-letter words. Those are real good cussing words. Come on, cuss me." Well, he looked at me and said, "I will not." I said, "What's the matter? You scared God to hear you?" Well, ladies and gentlemen, if he'll hear you curse, he'll hear you pray. He just knew for sure God wasn't hearing a word he said, but he just wouldn't cuss. He scared God to hear him. This is good stuff. God's ears are bigger than yours. And then this here, Lord Jesus, I love this. A lot of people say, "My prayers are not being answered." Maybe this is the reason why. What you bind, you should never loose. Now, you got to understand something. If you understand the true word of God, you're working in two economies every day. What you do on earth will affect what will happen in heaven. What happens in heaven will affect what happens on the earth. The Bible said, what you bind on earth, what you loose on earth. See, so you have to understand that you're working in two different places. God living in both places, there in heaven, and Christ in you, the hope of glory. And I made up my mind, once I bind something, I'll never turn it loose. That's why I get my prayers answered. In fact, I got to watch what I say because I get it. And you must be superior to that power instead of driven by it. Don't shout me down when I'm preaching good now. Yeah, just because, you got to watch that. Just because you must be superior to that power instead of driven by. That's why a lot of people mess up. You know, God elevates them, then they mess up, they get divorces, they mess up, because they don't know how to handle that. You see, you must be superior to it instead of driven by it. And I love this message. What you bind, you should never lose. I bound the devil years ago concerning sickness and just never got sick. Isn't that a miracle of the Lord? The last time I was in a hospital was when I was born. They slapped me and I ain't been back since. Slapped my little naked bottom. You could have just massaged me to make me come alive and have to slap me, Lord Jesus. It's such a blessing. What you should bind, you should never, ever, ever loose. Go back there and get that. Do you have that love service back there also? Or did you? How many? Four more?
Just a few.
Well, let me talk about that. There, and if you ought to order it, they only had three or four of them back there. Thank you, Larry. It's called, I preached this series about four and a half hours of preaching on love. What is it good for? I was flying back from Madison Square Garden. I just preached a meeting there in Madison Square Garden. I was flying back home. And, I was just sitting on a plane. We had a great meeting. I was just enjoying myself in the presence of the Lord. But really, not really thinking that much about God, just enjoying myself, you know. And all of a sudden, I heard this song. It was in my mind. What's love got to do, got to do, got to do? And the Lord interrupted and said, absolutely everything. Now, I didn't have God on my mind. I had Tina Turner on my mind. I was thinking about Tina, you know, and the Lord spoke to me and he said, when you get back home, I'm going to give you a series on love. What is it good for? Absolutely everything. Now, the Lord said you got to love everybody, but he didn't say you have to like everybody. Yes. Because there's some people not thorns in the flesh. They're complete bushes. You know they are. Aggravating souls. Jesus did not like everybody. He called the Pharisee, the Sadducee, you snake, hypocrite, viper. He didn't like them at all. But he went to the cross and died for them. So you got to love everybody, but you don't have to like everybody. That's a blessing of God. Because I used to get confused there. You know, I said, Lord, I had a gentleman one time. He just aggravated me so much. I said, Lord, I just don't like the guy. He said, I don't like him neither. That's what he said. He said, but I went to the cross and died for him. Women, ladies, you love your husband, but sometimes you don't like it. Is that don't? You know it's the truth. You're just keeping your head straight. You love your children, but sometimes. You don't have to like everybody, thank God, because that's an emotional, natural thing, but you have to love everybody. And I don't know how many said they got hardly any more back there, but if you can, if they run out, fine, but you ought to get that. That will bless you. People seem to know what love is, but they have a hard time defining it. They really, most people can't define love to start with. They just think they can. Powerful, powerful stuff back there. I've heard it all. It's very good. Avail yourself to the book and tape table. Stand to your feet one more time. Just stretch a little bit. If you have to rub something, rub it quick. Get it over with. Then you might be seated. Oh, glory. You know, I enjoy Lewis because we got the same color hair. Y'all may be seated. And what's so good about it, it is our hair. I've been all over some of these television shows. You'd be surprised how many toupees they got in the ministry. Some people, they get hit with a rainstorm, that brown water just come down their cheeks. Which is okay. I don't care. Glory to God. The Lord's been so good. Y'all want to know who it is, don't you? Okay. I have been preaching this message, and I was going to do something different because I love to preach the gospel. I love the revelation of God's word. Preaching is proclaiming, and teaching is explaining. So I'm going to do a little preaching, proclaiming, and I'm going to do a little teaching, explaining. People ask me all the time, because I travel literally across the globe, Brother Jesse, what are you seeing out there? You know, what's God doing out there? Different things, you know. Well, I'm not moved by the waves that come in ministry. I'm moved by the word of God. Man asked me that too long ago, are you in the river? I said, man, I'm in the ocean. River, you can see both sides of this baby. So I'm in the ocean. And I just made up my mind, I want it all. And if he said I could have it all, then I want it all. There you go. That makes some people mad, you know, especially when I'm on over, without sounding arrogant, prideful, I'm on over 2,700 different television stations across America and the world, translated 14 different languages, preaching to 2.5 billion people a week. Now, that's a lot of people. Those are not just pumped up numbers. That's true numbers. The Lord's been good and gracious, but I see this problem all over the body of Christ, and I thought I would address it tonight. Because a lot of people don't realize how much of a burden it is, especially Pentecostals. Pentecostals are burden people, Lord Jesus. They're just in the burden. I got a burden. What for? I mean, to some Pentecostals, if you're not sad, sick, and disgusted, and broke, you just ain't close to God. We're going to break that. You know, I tried broke. I'll never do that again. That's the worst mistake I ever did in my life. I tried sad. I didn't like that neither. Sick one time. I ain't doing that no more. I'm not in crisis. I'm in Christ. The hope of glory. But I want to deal with something. I believe it will minister to you. And if you go to 1 Peter chapter 5, at the close of the service, we'll receive an offering for our ministry. And then we thank you for being a blessing. Many of my partners are here, and I just thank you. We're believing God for 1 million partners so we can add 1 more billion people to the telecast. We have over 422,000 active partners every month to this ministry. It's bigger than most TV networks. I'm not being prideful of that because people trust me and the Lord trusts me. I do what I say because I can't separate myself from my word and neither can God. On our ministry, we have my covenant, Psalms 89:34. My covenant will I not break nor alter the thing that goes out of my lips. If you ever get God to say something, he's got to do what he says. But let's face it, sometimes some things he said didn't come to pass. I think that's a valid question. Why didn't it come to pass? I think there needs to be answered and say, well, you just never know what God's going to do. Read his book. You'll find out. I want to deal with this tonight, if that's all right. 1 Peter chapter 5, I want to start reading with verse 6. It says this, humble yourself, therefore, under the mighty hand of God. Now, I never heard of that growing up in church. I heard, God going to humble you, boy. You better get your act together. God going to put you down. You understand what I'm saying? God going to humble you. Now, either you lying or God's lying, I pick you. Because God's not man that he can lie. He says, humble yourself. So that's your responsibility to function in life. You are the architect of your life. I determine what happens to me, not the devil or any other circumstance he got. Don't shout me down when I'm preaching good. I want you to listen to me. He says, humble yourself, therefore, under the mighty hand of God. Because see, God's got something in his mind. What? The next verse, next statement, that he may exalt you in due time. So the way to go up in God is to go down. If you want to go up in God, you got to humble yourself. Therefore, in the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. But remember this, that promotion from God brings satanic attention. You start getting blessed in the city, in the field, going in, going out, the devil going to notice you. That's why I ain't don't mess with most Christians, because they ain't doing nothing. Don't shout me down when I'm preaching good. But the minute the Lord begins to exalt you, he begins to see, whoa, 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 we got a problem here. There's someone with some anointing. There's somebody that can mess us up. See, the devil don't care if you go to heaven or hell. Where you hurt him is here. The devil loves it when a Christian goes to heaven, gets him out of his hair. Think about that. He said, my God, man, go to heaven, do something. Go away, go ahead. He says, humble yourself, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. The next statement, the next verse, casting all your care upon him. Not upon your mama, not upon your daddy or your grandpa or your pastor. Why in the world do you want to counsel with a pastor? Don't shout me down when I'm preaching good. All you're going to do is recede everything that the devil's doing you. That's why some preachers mess up. They heard some stuff they shouldn't have heard, and it brought temptation in their life. I've got a 3-point plan on counseling. Admit it, quit it, and forget it. Now get out of here. Go on the house. Now you know that don't work very well in a church. Admit it, quit it, and forget it. Go on with yourself. Casting all your care upon him. He's the only one can handle your care. Your pastor can't handle your care. In fact, when you leave, he says, I'm glad it's gone. I'm glad that ain't happened to me. You're on your own, Jack. Now, he ain't going to say that to you, but most of the time that happens. Casting. Notice this. Care don't go away by praying.
It don't go away by faithing. It don't go away by confessing. It goes away by casting. You got to get physical with care. That's your responsibility to humble yourself, and they'll cast your care upon him because he's the only one that can handle your business. Notice why. For he cares for you. Notice it. Don't go away by praying. It don't go away by confessing. Don't go away by faithing. You just got to get physical and say, I am not messing with this no more. Because God cares for you. I had several preachers say, Jesse, I've been knowing you, my God, for over 30 years. You've never come to us and talked about a problem. I said, what for? You don't need no more. And what you going to do about it? Just help me pray. I don't mean that to be rude, and thank God that you do, but bless God, I realize to get rid of this thing, I got to cast it on someone that can handle it. Casting all your care upon him. I want to talk tonight about the cure for care. Because there is a cure to it. People ask me all the time, and ask my ministry staff and my wife, Jesse seems happy all the time. You know why? I could care less. I could care less. When people criticize me, you know, I'm building, I have a nice car, I got a nice home. I bet some people criticize my house. I said, no. They say, I don't tell you what that kind of house. I say, excuse me, no, you love my house. You just don't like your house. See, when they criticize my car, I say, no, you love my car. You don't like that piece of trash you're driving. That's your problem. See, that's jealousy and envy. I'm just being very honest and blunt. You see? See, when people get jealous and envy, they just want what you got. They just can't handle it, but they want what you got. So when people criticize, they say, oh, I don't think you ought to have that. I said, I didn't ask you. Now, I know that sounds hard. That's not being arrogant or cocky. It's assurance and confidence. Have you ever thought in your finite mind that the Lord blessed me? Have you ever thought that I was a reaper because I had been a sower? I'm going to preach over here a while. I don't think anybody getting over here. Hallelujah. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. So the Lord loves me. He can't help himself. He does. He loves me. I want to deal with the cure for care because there is a cure for it. Now write this down if you're taking notes. Don't function under the burden of a care. Write that down. Don't function under the burden of a care. Why? It's a form of pride. See, when you function under the burden of a care, you're saying God can't handle your business. So you thought you would take it and worry about it and try to fix it. That's a form of pride. You're saying God can't handle what's happening to you. Isn't this good? Don't function under the burden of a care. It's a form of pride. See, and I'm going to tell you something. If you do that, you're heading for sure failure. Write this down. Carrying care with weak hands is sure failure. See, that's the reason why the Apostle Peter, or Pope Peter, if you're Catholic, he was the first pope, messed up. Jesus made him the head of the Jesus of Nazareth Evangelistic Association. He took on the care of the ministry and denied Jesus 3 times. So don't function under the burden of a care. It's a form of pride. Why? Because carrying care with weak hands is sure failure. He took on the responsibility or the care of the ministry, and he couldn't handle it. And he denied Jesus 3 times. Now, the last denial, he got really terrible. He said, I neither know nor understand the man. Now, Jesus was in major trouble when Peter did that, because that's a God-awful sin to deny Jesus. He said, if you deny me before men, I will deny you before my Father. So Jesus' ministry was shut down because of the sin of Peter, because he took on the care of the ministry. Jesus had trouble. The crazy fool Peter done denied him before men. He said, I neither know nor understand him. Jesus said, if you deny me before men, I will deny you before my Father. Which means Jesus could not legally introduce Peter to the Father. Jesus was in trouble. The ministry was in trouble at the very beginning of it. That's why Jesus said right after the resurrection, go tell my disciples and Peter. He done jacked up, messed up. That I'm alive. Now, I'm going to show you some revelation here. See, when you take on care, my God, you'll deny your best friend. Don't shout me down. I don't take on the care of my ministry. I could care less. When the Lord told me to believe, I've owned three jets. When the Lord told me to believe for that first jet, I like the fella. I said, a jet? I was having a hard time filling up a Toyota, and gas was 55 cents a gallon. And you want me to run a jet? He said, Jesse, I didn't ask you to pay for it. I just asked you to believe for it. So that's the problem. A lot of preachers think they got to pay for everything. That's like Peter. He thought, I got trouble on my hands here. Now watch this. He denied Jesus three times, so Jesus cannot legally introduce Peter to the Father, because he said, if you deny me before men, I will deny you before my Father. So right after the resurrection, he said, go tell my disciples and Peter I'm alive. When he sees Peter, he said, Peter, come here. Peter, come here. Now, Peter was very boisterous. I would not have picked him as the head of that ministry. He was one of them cussing, cutting Christians. He cussed you and cut and didn't repent later, but he cut you bad some. You know some of them kind. But he had boldness about it, you know. I would have picked Nathaniel, in whom there is no guile. Sweet guy. Just a nice fella. Not Peter. I'll slap you, but I'm going to pray for your healing, but I'm going to hit you, sucker. That's how Peter was. You know, he's just tough as a nail. But he took on the care of the ministry. Now, Jesus has no leader for his ministry. He's got to work it from heaven. He's got to come down and fix this thing. So he sees Peter. He said, Peter, come here. Now, Peter, come here. What, Lord, what? Do you love me, Peter? Do you love me? Or King James, lovest thou me? You know, however you want to say it, I don't know. Do you love me? And Peter said, yeah, Lord, I love you. He said, feed my sheep, Peter. Feed my sheep. Why did he say that? Because love is action. So you can tell somebody you love them all day, but if you don't show it to them, they don't know it. Love is doing something instead of just saying something. It wasn't 2 minutes later, Jesus said, Peter, come here. He said, what, Lord, what? Do you love me? Do you really love me? Yeah, Lord, you know I love you. You get a little aggravated. Peter get mad real quick. He said, feed my sheep, Peter. Yeah. Okay, Lord, I'll do that. Wasn't another couple of minutes. Peter, what? What? Do you love me? Lord, you know I love you. He said, feed my sheep. Why did Jesus ask him three times to do that? To cancel out the three denials. See, he canceled out the three denials so he could legally introduce Peter to the Father God. He shut it all down. And the church world gets real mad when God destroys evidence. Oh, Lord. God takes your sin, puts it in the sea to never be remembered against you anymore. But the problem with Christians, they never get rid of their scuba gear. They always swimming to see what you've done. But God canceled the evidence. And he had to do it three times to shut down the three denials so he could legally introduce Peter to the Father, which got him back in business on the earth. So don't function under the burden of a care. It's a form of pride because you're carrying care with weak hands. Now write this down. Keeping your care produces a division of faith between God and yourself. Maybe the reason why you're not receiving what you've been believing for is not because of a lack of faith or an abundance of unbelief. It could be care stopping God from helping you because you think you can handle your business, especially preachers. See, preachers, all preachers have been infected with a disease called Philippitis. Philippitis. It just tore up more preachers than you can shake a stick at. Jesus, one time, walking down the road, and a bunch of people found him, and he said, Philip, when shall we buy bread that these may eat? Philip said, you got to be kidding me. He ain't going to try to feed this crowd. But Philip's Pentecostal. He worry all the time. They go to offerings for the last 6 weeks. We ain't going to have a dime left. Bless God. We got to sleep on the road. Ain't going to have enough money to get in the hotel. Oh, Lord. He going to try to feed the crowd. So he can't find his calculator because he's Pentecostal. Pentecostal. Yeah, he tried to figure all this mess out. Finally, he said, Jesus, come here. Jesus, come. What are you doing? What's the matter? What are you doing? If we spent 200 penny word on each person, they might get a little, not all of them, but just maybe a little. Jesus did not ask Philip to calculate how much it costs to feed the crowd, but he's Pentecostal. Preachers think, well, how am I going to do this? All Jesus asked Philip was, where the stove? Where's the stove? Just want to know where the stove is, because I'm going to get some bread. Do you see my point? But see, a lot of ministries, especially people, think they automatically got to pay for something instead of believe for something. I tell you, I was at Bishop Jake's manpower thing. I did this not too long ago, I didn't think I was going to see him because I told him I could only do a 10 o'clock in the morning, Friday morning service, and that was it. And I was gone, He said, well, can we go to lunch? I said, no, I got to go. I've got to preach at Fort Worth at 2:30. That's why I have a jet. I'm in two cities in a matter of hours preaching. Now, watch this. So I didn't think it would be there. He showed up. Lewis, he just showed up. And then right after, he said, Jesse, come back just for a few minutes. I just want to say hello to you. So I said, how you doing, Bishop? What's up? All that kind of stuff, get that lean walking. What's up there, Bishop? Yeah. That kind of stuff, Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. He said, Jesse, every time I turn the television on, I see you. I say, you're supposed to. That's my calling. That's what I do. Not so any more people can know who I am. I don't really like that. I like to go to the bathroom by myself. You go to a mall, people follow you in the bathroom. Say, can I help you? I need to talk to you. Not here. There are some things you prefer to do by yourself. You know what I'm saying? He said, Jesse, I got to ask you something. This is Bishop T.D. Jones. I said, what's that, Bishop? He said, what do you do when you get those big television bills? I know, my God, I know what those things that cost. I said, oh, that's easy, Bishop. Jesus, you got mail. That ain't none of my business. That ain't none of my business. That's none of my business. I could care less. I've cast that care upon the Lord a long time ago. Because he's the only one can pay it. You see my point? It's the cure for care. Now, you walk in humbleness. Some people say, no, he's just cocky. No, I'm assured and confident that what God said he would do, he would do. See, I'm not trying to get this work to work. I know it does work. You don't try to get married. You don't even feel married, but you are. To cast care, write it down, to cast care on God is to make him the will and the guide and measure of ours. Let me say it again. To cast our care on him is to make his will the guide and measure of ours. I just want to be in his will. So many people, I'm amazed at how many ministries and ministers don't know the will of God. Most men, people don't know what the will of God, just whatever come up. You want to know what the will of God is? It's actually a blanket. It's actually a policy. It's Genesis chapter 1, Genesis chapter 2, and the last two chapters in the book of Revelation. That's four chapters. Four chapters now. That's the will of God for mankind, from Lorraine, Ohio to New Orleans, from Moscow to Los Angeles, from Los Angeles to Hong Kong. Anywhere there's a man, which means mankind, the will of God for you is Genesis chapter 1, Genesis chapter 2, and the last two chapters in the book of Revelation. Now, that's four chapters for the will of God for mankind. Between them four chapters is 1,186 chapters of killing, stealing, and destroying by an arch enemy called Satan. But Jesus is coming back. And we're going back to Genesis 1, Genesis 2, and the last two chapters in the book of Revelation. So live long and prosper. That's what God wants to do for you. Now, can you accept what he wants? Yeah, but you see, people got this all the time. When, Lord? You ever heard people pray, Lord, when are you going to do it, Lord? When, Lord? They even sing, when, Lord? Hey, when, Lord? Well, you want me to answer when, Lord? It's Mark 11, 23 and 24. Now, let's go to the scripture that Kenneth Hagin wrote. That's what most people think he did, because he preached on it so long. Mark 11, 23 says, if you would say to this mountain, not God, not God, God ain't got nothing to do with this. This is you now. See, that's taking responsibility of who you are. If you would say unto this mountain, be thou removed, be thou cast in the sea, you got to be able to know where to tell that mountain where to go. You tell a lot of other people where to go. Why can't you tell your mountain where to go? You ain't got no problem telling somebody where to go, especially when the preacher ain't around. You can, Why you got a problem with that mountain? If you would say unto this mountain, be thou removed, be thou cast into the sea. Notice it's the only place you can hide a mountain's in the sea. And not doubt in your heart, not God's heart, not doubt in your heart. But believe those things but you say shall come to pass. You're going to have whatsoever you saith. Notice God ain't got anything to do with this. Let me say it again. Notice this. It all has to do with you. If you would say unto this mountain, be thou removed, be thou cast into the sea, and not doubt in your heart, believe those things but you say shall come to pass. You shall have whatsoever you say it. Notice that God only says believe one time in the verse, but he says say and say it three times. So evidently he's trying to tell us to say something. He said, you can't get married till you say something. Do you take this woman to be your lawful wedded wife? You don't do this. No, you better say something, fool. You don't go. No, no, say, even if you can't talk. You're going to say something. That's how you get saved. You believe with your heart and what? Confess with your mouth. Now watch this. He said, you shall have whatsoever you say it. Yeah, but in religion puts, well, if it's the will of God. No. Now you just added that in there because of your experience. He said, if you would say to that mountain, be thou removed, be thou cast into the sea, and not doubt in your heart, believe those things which you say shall come to pass, you shall have whatsoever you say it. Verse 24. Watch this. Here we are. Now we're all dealing with you, not with God. What things soever you desire. Not God. God ain't got anything to do with this. This is you now. What things soever you desire. Put it up there. Therefore I say unto you, what things you ask or will you desire, believe that you receive them and you shall have them. Now here's the problem. He says, what things have you desire when you pray? Believe that you receive and you shall have. The problem is people put the comma in the wrong place. Now, he just answered, when, Lord. What things so ever you desire when you pray, comma. The problem is you go believe, comma, that you receive and you shall have. No, there's no comma after believe. He says, when you believe that you receive. Believe that you receive. It's one action. One action is a reaction. That's the law of physics. See, the problem is when, Lord, when you pray, believe that you receive. Not when you pray, believe, and then whatever the Lord's ready, he's going to do it. No, you put the comma in the wrong place. He says, when you pray, comma, believe that you receive, comma. Yeah. See, if you believe that you receive, you don't talk about it no more because you believe that you receive. It's one action, one reaction. Once I pray, I believe that I receive. I don't talk about it no more. Why? That because I answered, when, Lord, when I pray, comma, I believe that I receive. Yeah, but. Now, that's your problem. You need to get your butt out the way. That's the biggest butt you'll ever see in your life right there. When, Lord? When you pray, comma, believe that you receive. Believe that you receive. Not believe. We're believing. We're standing on the white. I think we believe and we don't know what we're doing. We're just trying to get this thing to work. So you put the comma after believe. You're shutting yourself down. You believe that you receive. You believe that you receive. You believe that you receive. When I left New Orleans a while ago, I believed that I was going to Lorraine. But not only did I believe it, I was receiving it. I told everybody, where you going, Lorraine, Ohio? I didn't say, well, we're going to get on the plane and we're believing. I hope so. This you never know. No, man, we did a flight plan. We believe that we receive. Boom. And you know, there's no sign up there at 40,000 feet, 43,000 feet, Lorraine, Ohio, 460 miles. No, you're flying by instrumentation, by air traffic controllers. Amen. And you know what we believe? When they say turn 10 degrees, we go, are you sure? Don't say that. See, we believe that we receive. One action. Where every reaction is an hour, every action is a reaction. Do you see that? Do you understand what I'm saying here? See, this is the cure for care. I prayed about that, but, oh, Lord Jesus, get ready to get your rear end kicked again. And God won't get the blame. Lord, just don't seem to answer our prayer. One man told me, he said, we fasted and prayed, stood on the word, and that person died. I said, did she die in faith? He said, what did you say about that? I said, did she die in faith? He said, what? I said, did she die in faith? He said, man, yes, she died. I said, well, it's better than dying in doubt, isn't it? Oh, what do you mean? We didn't want her to die. I said, the Bible said these all died in faith, not receiving the promise. Have you ever thought in your finite mind, just think about it for a minute, that man, they get real close to being totally completely here, and they look over on the other side, and they say, now, you can either stay. Jesus said, I'll leave you here, I'll heal you, or you can come where we are. You think they're going to come back here? You living in a dream world. But see, you never think of that. Because you see, first thing first, there's no sickness that will kill a man to start with. Bible said death and life's in the power of the tongue. You know what the Lord told me the other day, Lewis? He said, you need to start preaching on death. I said, why? He said, nobody know how to die. Well, how can you know how to die if you've never been heard it? You can't believe something you hadn't been preached about. He said, too many people up here right now. He said, I don't mind having them, but they come here for the wrong reason. They thought I took them home. No, I gave them a destiny and a destination. They didn't receive it, and they didn't get to the place where they were supposed to go. He said, but it's not their fault, because no one ever preached on what they could do in life. Wow. Psalms 115, verse 16 says, the heaven, even the heavens, are the Lord's. That's his. But the earth hath he given to the children of men. I have a right to this planet. It belongs to me. Every bit of it is mine. And it's yours. But you hadn't been preached that. Some of y'all went, Well, that's the scripture, Psalms 115, verse 16. That's what he told Adam to do. He gave him a garden that wasn't finished. God didn't finish the Garden of Eden. He told Adam and Eve, dress it. Then he said something that was powerful. Keep it. Which means if you don't keep it, you can lose it. And we're going to do business together. And I give you dominion over all the works of my hand. Oh, the devil is an outlaw. Don't you understand? He's controlling your stuff. Because you're asking God to give it back to you. God ain't giving it back to you. You violate, take it by force. That's yours. See, that responsibility belongs to you. Do you understand what I'm saying? Casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. So to cast our care on him is to make his will the guide and measure of ours. Now, let's just be honest. How did the care get so big? Let's face it, it gets big. You know, you used to lie about it. That's a fact. You want to know how it gets so big? Write this down. Care is established by estimating things from your point of view. You ain't asked God about it. You just thought, Lord, this is it, son. This is the big boy here. Care is established by estimating things from your point of view. When God's got a point of view, whose report shall you believe? To whom is the arm of the Lord revealed, or revelation that's come to you? See, care is established by estimating things from your point of view. I read this the other day. Had a little girl, Mike Hammond's little granddaughter. So funny, y'all might have heard about this. Mike and Lynn Hammond got a sweet. She skinned her knee up real bad, you know. And man, so she said, "Daddy, my knee hurts." He said, "I'm gonna pray for the Lord to heal it." She said, "Okay, do that, Daddy. It hurts." Boy, he said, "Oh, Jesus, I pray for his name." I can't call a little girl's name. "I pray for her name, Lord, and then I expect her to heal it. In Jesus' name, she receive it, Father, right now. I receive it. Let her receive her manifestation right now. Jesus' name." She said, "Daddy, still hurts. Do it again." Father, in the name of Jesus. "Jesus, I ask you right now, heal my grandbaby's little knee in the name of that. Let that manifestation come forth right now in Jesus' name." "Amen," she said. "Grandpa," she called him granddad. "Granddad, when is that man from the station coming?" That's the joke. "When is that man from the station coming? It still hurts." See, in her little mind, there's some guy coming from a station to go take care of this situation. You see, you got to train someone. You see, care is established by estimating things from your point of view. Why? Write this down. Your words must not be trusted to impulse. Oh, if you want to mess up, just start talking by impulse. Your words must not be trusted to impulse. They must be cautiously regulated by principles. Write it down. Your words must not be trusted to impulse. They must be cautiously regulated by principles. See, what keeps me in the ministry clean is not my faith or my salvation. It's my principles. That's what made Joseph a clean boy. When that girl put the hit on him and he said, "I will not do this great wickedness and sin against my God." And he's a young man. And nobody would have known. There was nobody that knew God other than Joseph. But because he was a person of principle, it regulated him. I've had many opportunities to sin. I just didn't take any. I've had many opportunities to fail. I don't take any neither. Now, all my life I heard growing up in church that you got to sin every day. Not me. I don't sin every day. Am I shocking you? I go long, extended periods of time without sinning. The only time I sin is when I get in the flesh. But if I crucify the flesh daily instead of Sunday, I don't fulfill the lust of the flesh. Are you hearing when I know I am knocking over some golden calves tonight, buddy, but that's a fact. I tell you what, man,
It's been at least 60, 80 days since I sinned. I don't remember the last time I sinned. Don't shout me down when I'm preaching good. That's shaking y'all. See, some of y'all, oh, how can he say that? I'm the righteousness of God. That's what he said. I'm saying what God said about me. Not what you say about me. Not what you think about. What God say about me. You want to get rid of care in your life? Believe what God says about you. Sin's not my Lord. Jesus is my Lord. And I ain't the ugliest man in the world. I get hit on every once in a while. Can you believe it? Can you believe it? I'm talking about girls. I could be their daddy. They think I got money. They're right. They're right. But that ain't my money. That's Kathy money. And she ain't giving her money to no little hussy. Now, I don't know what a hussy is, but I know it ain't good. You understand what I'm saying? I'm telling you, do you understand what I'm talking about? I don't worry about that stuff. Why? What in hell do I want? See, I don't see a woman as a sexual object to be conquered. Because I don't care how pretty she is and how pretty her parts are. Parts wear out. It's going to fall down. Am I shocking you? You should have seen me when I was young. Oh, I had a body that wouldn't quit, boy. I had one of them hard bodies. I had a six-pack. I got a keg now, but I had a six-pack. I had a body. You got to believe it by faith, but it's the truth. But time, look at this. Look at his face. Look how loose it is. I got to go to Beverly Hills, get it sucked up like all the people on TBN got. But anyway, glory to God. Look like they've been in a Hurricane Katrina. That's okay if that's what you like. That's fine with me. I don't care. One day that beautiful girl going to go by, honey, and the bottom of my arm going to be just a flopping. It's going to happen. But you didn't marry her body. You married her. Do you understand my point? I could care less. It's the cure for care. See, your words must not be trusted to impulse. They must be cautiously regulated by principles. So I'm a man of principle. I can say this, and I'm so proud of it. It's not arrogance or pride. It's just the truth. I've been preaching 31 years. In 29 years of full-time ministry, I've been preaching 31, went into the full-time ministry 29 years ago. I've never had a scandal in my ministry ever. My ministry sexually pure, financially pure. That's not hard. Why? Why is it not hard? Be ye holy, for I am holy. See, you can't be perfect in a moment, but you can be holy in a moment. You just call upon the holiness of God. You see what I'm saying? So I don't trust my words to impulse. They're cautiously regulated by principles. I like that. I've had, you know, so many preachers messing up today. Lord, God Almighty. You know why? They can't handle promotion. They get a limelight, and the poor woman out there can't handle it neither. Oh, he just like your husband. He ain't no good. You must not think he's no good because you're looking at that guy. What you looking? Look at your husband. I had a man tell me the other day. He said, "You know, I'm a little embarrassed to lift my hands up in church." I said, "Close your eyes. Ain't nobody gonna see you." I don't see nobody. I said, "Just close your eyes. Close your eyes and worship the Lord. Eventually, you'll be able to open them up." He said, "I'm Baptist." That's okay. He said, "We don't lift our hands." I said, "Well, okay, you don't have to, but you want to, don't you?" Yeah, he said, "I kind of do it like this, you know." He said, "You know, it just takes me a little time." I said, "That's fine. Take your time. Take your time. That's all right." You see? So I don't trust words to impulse. They must be cautiously regulated by principles. So you cast your care upon him, for he careth for you. You understand? I've been down in 3 airplane crashes. Boy, that'll make a Baptist speak in tongues quick. 3 of them. That's why I bought my own plane. Lord Jesus, at least I know that one can fly. How'd you like to be at 33,000 feet and have the captain said, "Get ready for heavy flame and smoke"? What did he say? He said, "Get ready for heavy flame and smoke." Oh, Jesus. Oh, people repent. Even Muslims. Oh, Jesus. They say anything. Jesus. Buddha. Forget Buddha. Jesus. Help me out here something. I ain't never heard nobody say Buddha. Not one time. I ain't never heard nobody say Allah, Muhammad. Not one time. But I heard this. Jesus. Because he's the only one alive. You can put your, take that to the bank, buddy. Yeah. So I just made up my mind. I'm not going, I have been delivered from people. Even Paul the Apostle said that I have been delivered from the people. So now you preach what the Lord tells you to preach. See my point? And you have to. There's no other choice. Because you see something, you may be held accountable for someone's position, whether they go to heaven or go to hell. You better tell them the truth. You have to. See. So your words must not be trusted to impulse. They must be cautiously regulated by principle. So when something bad, do you know I get some ugly thoughts in my mind? So what do? 2 Corinthians 10:5 kicks in. It says casting down imaginations. Every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. Bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. So when a bad thought comes in my mind, and they do, I go, that's not my thoughts. My thoughts are lovely, just, good, report, and pure. Jesus said, think on these things. Satan, you will not invade my thought process. Get out of here. This is my mind, not yours. Do you see that? The reason why care is established by estimating things from your point of view, when that care, and there's nothing wrong with being concerned about things. I don't want you to misunderstand. It's okay to be concerned about something, but when it develops to care, then its disobedience is actually sin. Because Jesus said, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. So when something comes, I go, no, I cast down that imagination. Now, you can't even mess up that verse. You could use the end of it first. Bring every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ by casting down imagination and every high thing exalts itself against the knowledge of God. Or you can quote it correctly. Casting down imagination, every high thing exalts itself against the knowledge of God. Bring every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. You can't mess it up. So when an ugly thought comes in my mind, I said, that's not my thoughts. 2 Corinthians 10:5 kicks in. See, the word of God kicks in. And I just go on about my business. You see my point? And when you and listen to me, because I'm saying, once you get this, you talk about free at last, thank God Almighty, you free at last. Ooh. Then all of a sudden, when something God tells you to do, which is always impossible, I asked the Lord that one time, I said, why do you ask me to do impossible things? He said, because if I just let you do possible things, I'd put myself out of a job. I ain't putting myself on the unemployment line. He said, I know you. You're a worker. You'll go get it done. I said, yeah, I will. He said, son, I'm going to make sure that me and you always work together. Do you see my point? So I've just cast my care upon. And I mean, I've had some hair-raising experiences in my life, and I just let people freak out. I had a guy, I tell you one thing, I may have said this years and years ago. I'll never forget this. It was on the second time. I mean, we got in major trouble on an aircraft. And what happened was flying, and I guess it was at 30, 35,000 feet, and me was in a room, and he was an atheist. And how I know that when I sat down on the plane, this is before I had my plane. I was just reading my Bible. He said, excuse me, you a preacher? I said, yes, sir. Now, I never, ever sit by the window when I used to fly commercial. I always sat an aisle seat, you know, so I could get up and go. He said, I don't believe in your blankety blank God. He cussed, man. Made me mad. I wanted to worship God. Oh, excuse me. Boy, that flesh began to rise up. I said, I bind you in Jesus' name. He said, I don't believe in your blankety blank God. I guess that's a Bible, huh? Yeah, and he has a Penthouse magazine. He flips it open to the center page and says, what do you think of that, preacher? Just jams it like this. And everybody just looking at him. I went over to my Bible and got to them red parts. I said, what you think of that? That's all I did. I flipped that book just like that. What do you think of that? He goes, I mean, he just cussing up a storm, so I just kept reading my Bible. And that's when you used to smoke on a plane, and all of a sudden the lights come on, please, no smoking, please. We're entering some air turbulence. We have some thunderstorms. We're going to have to fly around them. Some of them are getting big. They're closing up on them. We're going to try to pick our way through this, blah, blah, this, and that. All of a sudden, you've been on planes. You know what I'm talking about. It got bad, real bad. Now, watch that. I am never sitting by a window seat, but this time I am. I happen to turn and look out. And lightning hits the engine. Bam! And the thing blows up. Fire. And I look at this, and I'm sitting by the wing, and I know that wing's full of fuel.
buddy, that captain hit, throw them throttles, and push that, yoke down. That plane goes, wah, we are going down. This crazy. This guy been cussing. Either. He goes, oh, God. I said, he don't exist. Enjoy your death. That's exactly what I said. It felt so good. It was a little fleshy, but not too much. It was just good. I said, my man, we're going to hit the ground. Your body and blood and guts are going to skin fly all up. And besides, you're going to hell, fool. Oh, God, what are we going to do? And the Lord spoke to me. He said, what are you talking to that fool for? You better talk to me. Are you going to allow this to happen? I said, no. He said, well, fix it. I unbuckled that seatbelt. I jumped up and I said, let me tell you. Death and life's in the power of the tongue. Ain't nobody going to get hurt. I'm on this plane, bless God, and I am not destined to die. In the name of Jesus, devil, get your hand off this plane. And that baby leveled out. True story. My God. I should have received an offer. Now I got all the back tied for the last 40 years right there. We landed. That atheist, I'm sorry, Reverend, I'm sorry. I said, oh, it's amazing. There are no unbelievers after death. Ain't no unbelievers after death. You're going to meet God face to face. He said, I don't believe that. That don't change it. It don't make no difference if you do believe it. So an atheist tell me, I don't believe in God. I said, don't believe it. That make them mad as a hornet. It don't mean you don't have to. Just, well, do what you got to do. Shoot the dice, boy. Because you're gambling. And I said, if you think you're winning, just go to Vegas. All you got to do is go to Vegas. Look at those multi-billion dollar hotels. Somebody losing. Lots of people losing. Faith in God will produce faith in man and faith in yourself. Write that down. Faith in God will produce faith in man and faith in yourself. You see, you may have faith in God. You may even have faith in a friend of God. But do you have faith in yourself? Now, how does faith in yourself come? Well, you're going to have to preach to yourself. Faith comes by hearing. Don't come by heard. Come by hearing. There's a lot of time I stand in front of a mirror and preach to myself. Spit flying, boy. I preach my own revival to myself. Give an altar call and answer it. Give an offering and receive it. Speak in tongues and interpret it. I'm telling you one thing I preach to myself. Why? Building up myself in the Holy Ghost. I have to have faith in myself. My daughter has great faith in me. Lord, gee, she's 35 years. She said, Daddy, she calls me El Shaddad. Because I told her all her life, growing up, you got a problem, you come tell your daddy, take care of everything. Somebody mess with you, they mess with me. You understand? I'll do what I got to do. I was raised on the streets of New Orleans. My grandpa said, he hanging around with them Italians. All my friends were Italians, man. What do you want me to do? We do what we got to do. We make you an offer, you don't refuse. I was raised with those kind of people. I kind of like them, tell you the truth. I'm telling you, man. It is so funny, you know. I think some Italian people think. I think a lot of Italians believe that Jesus was an Italian. They say, how you know? Well, he hung around with the same 12 guys. That's an Italian. And his mama thought he was God. Now, that's an Italian mama, buddy. Let me tell you. They love them boys. I'm telling you, boy, you got an Italian mama. Love them sons. My grandpa said, that boy, he hang around them Italians. He acts just like them Italians. But I couldn't help it. It's just all my friends. And even to today, I'm going to probably say 98% of all my friends are Italians. And I still have friends of that persuasion. They love me. Thank God. I've had some of them say, Reverend, somebody messed with you, you tell them. We take care of everything. We can do some things you can't do. You understand? I'm telling you. Man, I witnessed them. They said, somebody mess with you, they mess with us. The other day I went to dinner with a certain persuasion. And I happened to mention about a real estate deal that I'm looking at. I said, this guy hardly won't talk. He said, where you live? I said, no, don't worry about it. Where you live? He messed with you, they mess with you. You are a friend. Where you live? I said, no, I'll take care of you. What can we do for you? I said, nothing. You can't do a nothing. I'm telling you the truth. I said, Lord, what are you doing? He said, the only Jesus they may ever see is the Jesus in you.
I like Italian food. There's a guy in New Orleans, his job is to eat for free in all restaurants. Pretty good job, huh? And what he does, he writes, you know, things, if that's a good restaurant or not. I can't, his name, I don't know what his name is. But that's a pretty good job. He just goes all these, and we got a lot of restaurants in New Orleans. Great food in New Orleans. Well, there's this little Italian restaurant that's of the, that persuasion. Which I know all of. And me and Kathy eat there. Because I like the food. And I like the guy that owns it. All right? Which is part of the La Famiglia. So, man, I mean, you know, I just go about my business. So I'm sitting there eating. This guy walks in, you know, and he ate, and then he left. And the next day he writes up, I went to this little quaint Italian restaurant. The food was wonderful. I was a little nervous because everyone knows it's a mob restaurant. Until I saw Reverend Jesse the Planter sitting in there, and I figured I was okay. That's all I need. They call me the minister. They call me, the minister, have a seat. What can we do for you? I said, not a thing. Nothing. Let me pray for you. Well, we need prayer. I never forget one of them said, you need to pray for me. You know, you need a minister. Because things happen. I said, I understand. So they asked me, you really know this God, don't you? I said, you have to talk their language. I don't care where you're at. You got to talk somebody's language for them to understand you. They said, you know, you really actually believe you in the God. I said, look, man, I serve the boss of the bosses. They go, well, I serve the copper to do the copper. You understand? I understand the boss. He goes, I understand. I said, I'm a made man. You're a made man. I said, but made the righteousness of God. You don't mess with a made man. You understand, don't you? I understand. I said, God, take care of me. Do what I got to do. I said, he blessed me. Give me a peace. They go, I got it, Reverend. I got it. So you got to have Jesus here. And he won't say too much around people, but when I get along with them or something, they'll go, tell me about that. Why? Because I'm no better than anybody. Amen. And people say, oh, wow, you got them kind of friends. Jesus had friends like that. You have to let your light so shine, not just in the church, but in the world, so they can have a light that they are attracted to. Do you understand what I'm saying? I've had some, they say, you don't care about nothing, dude. I said, I could care less. You don't get scared. Sometimes I said, no, man. I said, the boss of the bosses. The boss take care of me. You understand? We're family. Yeah. Yeah. They go, I understand. And so you begin to connect it together. And all of a sudden, they start asking, would you pray for my baby? Would I pray? Would you baptize my baby? Would you dedicate my baby to the Lord? Because they heard me say that. Oh, yeah. Reverend, would you come? They're all Catholic. Isn't it? Would you come to our baby's baptism? Yeah. You should have seen that. You'd have thought it was Marlon Brando and Santino. I'm standing there. The priest says, that's Jesse Duplantis. And the guy's getting his baby christened. It's called the christening. He said, you know Jesse Duplantis? He's a friend of mine. I know some people, Father. I know the man. I'm just sitting there, you know, I'm just being revered. It was a beautiful ceremony, you know. After this, all the priest comes, he says, how you doing? He says, you're not trying to take him out of the Catholic Church, are you? Exact words. I said, no, sir, I would never do that. That's called proselyting. That's in the scripture. That's wrong to do that. I said, he's just my friend. I appreciate that. He told me you and him were good friends. I said, yes, we are. Y'all been knowing each other a long time? I said, pretty long. He said, from the same background? Some. They can't get over that. Why? And then when I went to a funeral, you ought to see that. Feds. I'm going, oh, Lord. And they say, you know, Reverend, we appreciate you coming. You know, but you know, we got these kind of guys, you know, things like this, you know. I said, listen, I respected your daddy in life. I respect him in death. We got no problem, man. They go, thank you, Reverend. kids tonight, but you don't mess with them now. Just I just sit there and I just let my light so shine. Reverend, can we talk? Can you help my mama? I said, I can help you, mama. I can help you. I said, but I'll tell you something. I prayed with your daddy the day before he died. You did. I said, I can't reveal what he said, but I'll tell you this. I got him. I got him. I got him. I got him. And I said, let me tell you something. Y'all live for Jesus, you'll see him again. You know, Dad was a I said, I understand. I ain't worried about that. That's gone. I got him. God had me at the right place at the right time. So do you get scared? No, why should I get scared? I got God that likes me, and they like me, man. I'm in good shape. But you see, I cast that carol. I don't. People can say what they want. I'm here to preach the name of Jesus to the world. And whoever wants to hear it, that's where I'll go. I tell you what I'm believing God for. I'd like to get on the Playboy channel. I'd get on, if they offer me a slot, I'll take it in a second. I don't care what you're seeing before or after. Just give me 30 minutes on that program. I'll go right slap. I'll put my program in. I'll preach Jesus and him crucified. And right before it might be a bunch of bunnies on one side and bunnies on the other side. But we'll have a bunny. We'll have a bunny hunt after a while, I guess. I don't know what's going to happen. But I'll preach the gospel in a second. Why? Because greater is he who is in me than he who is in the world. They're not going to move me. I'm going to move them. Do you see that? Do you understand what I'm saying? I ain't concerned or worried about that. You living in a dream world when God Almighty, the hope of glory, lives inside of you? Man, see, when you look at God and he's prettier than anything else the devil can show you, you ain't got a problem in the world. Now, let me say this and let me close. This is the most important statement. Write it down. Casting your care on God is life's greatest lesson. Casting your care on God is life's greatest lesson. I'm telling you, you have to do this if you want to live great in God's life. Spiritually, physically, and financially. God is not one-dimensional. The church world from the beginning, after Jesus died, and after all the last apostle or disciple died, the church world went to one-dimensional, and God's been three-dimensional. He's spirit, soul, and body. He's spiritually, physically, financially. See, every time someone reads it, if you're a theologian or something, they read it. Well, you know, these things are spiritual things. No, God is spiritual, God is physical, and God is financial. That's why he tells you there's gold streets and diamond, beryl, jasper, onyx, ruby in heaven. He's telling you pearly gate. See, he likes finance. He believes in nice things. Do you understand? He don't live in no shack. When you get to heaven, you can't bring your trailer. Nothing wrong with a trailer, but you ain't going to live in no trailer. Nothing wrong with a trailer, don't misunderstand. But you know, no, you got to understand, his will be done in earth. Well, when we get to heaven, when you're going to have to learn, you're going to have to go to school. You better learn it here. His will be done in earth as it is in heaven. That's why you affect what I affected today, what happened in heaven. Me. And heaven affected me, what happened on the earth. We're working in two different places all at the same time. What I bind on earth is bound in heaven. What I loose on earth is loosed in heaven. I affected heaven today. Me, you, and heaven affected you. It's amazing because you see everything here. That's why you never see God talking to thunderstorms, tornadoes. You never hear God going out there and it's not his job to rebuke earthquakes. Why? Because he's given you dominion over all the works of his hands. That's your job to tell the devil to get out of your county, get out of your state, and get away from you. That's your business. The heaven, even the heavens are the Lord, but the earth hath he given to the children of men. Yeah, but what about the scripture? The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. Yeah, till he gave it to Adam. He gave it to you. Do you see that? She's casting all your care upon him. So write this down. Our Christian faith is not simply a body of doctrines. It's a provision of grace. Let me say it again. Our Christian faith is not simply a body of doctrines. It's a provision of grace. People always want to know what I believe in. Well, I believe the Bible from Genesis to Revelation. People say, do you believe in speaking in tongues? You want to hear something? Well, do you believe in healing? You ever saw me sick? Well, you do. You believe in prosperity. You ever saw me broke? Do you believe in salvation? Does it look like I'm going to hell? No. Because, see, the manifestation is going to show. Do you follow my point? I mean, it's time for these things to start working. That doesn't mean the devil don't come at you in life. The devil will fight you. I refuse to fight the devil. I don't have time to fight a defeated foe. He's under my feet. I just keep walking. Though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. And he said, though I stop, build a house, and canonize the place. That doesn't mean the devil hadn't fought me. I refuse to fight him. I will no more, because that's taking on care. Having done all the stand. I've had people say, what are you doing? Standing. Yeah, but what you going to do? Stand. But the devil's getting close. What are you doing? Stand. Yeah, but stand. That's what he told. Stand. That's it. Stand. If you want a dog to bite you, just start running. But if you're in the midst of a bad dog and you sure you want to get bit up bad, just run. But you square off at that dog and look him right in the eyes. That dog go, ooh. Uh-oh, now we got a decision to make here. Are we going to fight or are we going to back away from each other, both looking at each other at the same time? See my point? Even animals can figure that out. Body language is very important. Even the devil can see body language. Casting all you care. Pentecostals will come and say, Lord, I got a burden. What for? Burden? What are you carrying a burden for? Burden? Oh, Lord, I just put it at the altar. I guarantee you, just listen. As soon as it's almost finished praying, I better take that thing with me. Let me put that back up on my shoulder and just go back out there. A lady, she loves me so much. She's so worried about me going off television in her area. She's a sweet lady. She's about 75 years old. She goes, Brother Jesse, I'm so concerned. I said, well, it's okay to be concerned, but look like that's developed into care, and you shouldn't be caring like that. Oh, but Jesse, what would you do if you didn't have enough money to stay on television? What would you do? I said, I'll go off. Pretty simple, isn't it? I've had this happen to me twice in my ministry. 26, 27 years ago, and just the other day, about maybe 6, 8 months ago. It was so funny. 92-year-old woman, 93, 94-year-old man, drove their own car to church. Come walking in, holding hands, you know. Now, you can tell when a woman's mad, you can read her face coming from the front to the back door. And there she is. Under the, oh, Lord, mama mad about something, boy. And she talking threes. Brother Jesse, Brother Jesse, Brother Jesse. So I answered her in three. What you want, mama? What you want, mama? What you want, mama? She said, them kids of mine. Want to put me and daddy. Want to put us in an old folks home. Old folks home. Can you believe that? Her children are 70. She's 92, so it's all relative. You understand? Her kids are 70 years old. Yeah. We got that camera. Me and daddy can take care of ourselves. I just look. She's mad, boy. She said, what do you think we ought to do? I said it one time. Have another baby. Freak them all out. Her husband, he went, that sound good to me, mama. She said, shut up, you old fool. And finally, her children came right there. One's 70, the other one's 72. They got 65 and 68. They said, we're concerned. We're worried about mama. What are you worried about? Had daddy ever gotten a wreck? They started arguing in front of me. I go, listen, I got to go. Stay right there, Budget. Stay right there, Budget. Stay right there, Budget. Oh, okay, mama, I will. I said, listen, your mom and dad, I said, they still give you a driver's license? Yeah, I said, I drive good. I said, well, what's the problem? Well, we thought maybe, you know, they might fall and hurt themselves. Man, you should have seen this cover. Have I ever fallen and hurt myself? She mad at her kids. You know, no, mama, you haven't done any of that. But, you know, we just want to make sure. She said, I'll let you know when I break something.
She said, Brother Jesse, it was nice hearing you. Have a nice day. Walked off. I told her kids, I said, y'all got a problem. Your mama may bury all of y'all. I don't know. Y'all may be thinking about trying to get her money. She may get all y'all money. Look like they ain't dying, man. I mean, they are having life. I said, can I ask you a question? Have you ever seen your mother and father worry about anything? Nothing. Never in all our lives. My dad's a hard worker. They retired. Now he said, but he still works. She said, he worked hard in that field, and I go to work all day. He said, man, I'm trying to retire right now. He said, my daddy can outwork me. He's 90-something years old. Mac Hammond's father just ran a marathon. He's 96. And he won. He won in his class, 96 years old. I just found out something the other day. I couldn't believe it. My mother went home to be with the Lord in 1982. Well, my sister, I only have one sister. My dad, I introduced a woman to my father. Oh, maybe just maybe a week after Mama died, a partner of mine named Esther. She just happened to come into a place where I was. I said, oh, Daddy, this is Esther. He said, hello, Esther Toops. Well, good Lord, I wasn't no more than about 6 weeks, 8 weeks later, which we thought was pretty quick. Daddy said, Jesse, can I live at your house? I said, yeah. Come on, Daddy, you live in my house. He said, man, I like your house. I said, well, you welcome to live there. So I bought him all new furniture for his room and all the kind of stuff. Man, he wasn't there 5 weeks. He said, Jesse, I'm getting married. I said, what'd you say? He said, I'm getting married. I said, who you getting married? Who you getting married to, Daddy? Esther Toot, my partner. He said, yeah. He said, he never met her before in his life. Mama told me on her deathbed, she grabbed me by the hand. She said, I want to tell you something. I prayed for the Lord to send someone to your daddy. Man, I said, Mama, I don't talk about that stuff. You know, you only got one mama in life. That's it. I don't care who it is. You know, you just got one. But sure enough, boy. Well, my sister liked to have a flaming fit. Whoo! Women like, boy, like cats. Men like dogs. Women. I mean, that fur is out there, son. Them claws. So Daddy asked me if I would marry him. Oh, no, Daddy. No, because I thought, man, I'm going to be like this. They're facing me, and there's my sister. Just mad as a hornet. And she's not mad at Esther. She ain't mad at Esther. She's mad at Daddy. She ain't mad at Esther. Just Daddy. Well, what do you want me to do? He said, would you do that? Sure, Dad. He said, can we get married on your patio in your back of your house? Sure, Dad, yeah. I'm telling my sister, and she wasn't mad. She said, Esther's not going to take Mama's place. I said, Deborah, Esther's not supposed to take Mama's place. Esther can never take our mother's place, but she can be a wife to our father. Now, shut up. You know, I said, everybody got a right to be happy. I said, what do you want me to do? Well, I married him. Well, he married her for 20-something. She just passed away no more than about 9 months ago. I mean, so he had a wonderful life with Esther. My dad is 84. Well, I call him for Father's Day. Deborah answers the phone. I say, hey, Deborah. Jesse, hey, Deborah's like, hey, what's up, Deb? What's up, Deb? Hey. I said, what? I said, listen, I want to call, talk to Daddy, wish him happy for he ain't here. I said, where is that? He said, he's with his girlfriend. I said, what? She said, he done it again. I said, he done done what? He said, he met a girl at Walmart. I said, he met a girl at Walmart? Yeah, she's the manager of Walmart. I said, he dating? How old is she? 62. 62? I'm 58. My oldest brother's 60. I said, 62? You got to be kidding me. I said, you know how Daddy is. You started that mess. I said, Deborah, shut up. I don't want to talk about that. So I talked to him. I said, Daddy, are you dating a 62-year-old woman? Oh, yeah, yeah, man. He said, she's a manager at Walmart. She liked me a lot, Jesse. She really does. I said, Daddy, are you going to tell her how old you are? No, I ain't telling her how old I am. He said, I ain't dead. I said, no, I know you ain't dead. That's not this year. Why is this?
He said, I'm thinking about marrying her. Oh, Lord. I said, listen, I'm going to be out of town. Now, my daddy, boy, he's slick. He said, you got to help me out here. You got to help me out, you know, sister. He said, what did you say? That everyone has a right to be happy? I want to say, no, you got to be sad for a while, Dad. You just got sad, sick, disgusted. I said, Daddy, everybody has a right to be happy. I said, if that works out, congratulations. Will you? No, I will not. I did it the first time, or the second time. Get somebody else to do it. I said, Deborah's looked at me for the last 20 years with a weird eye. Well, I talked to Deborah, and she said, she's nice, but can you bleed that old man? I said, well, find out what he eats, because I want to eat that all my life, too. Good Lord. My father. Well, I just found out I was in Augusta, Georgia Friday night. And someone was talking to my other brother, and I just found it. I hadn't talked to him yet. They set a date. They're going to get married in 2 weeks. I'm going to be out of town. I'm going to make sure I'm out of town. I'll send flowers. I'll send a gift, but I ain't getting around that for the last 20 years, boy. Not against the lady, because we all loved Esther. But you know what? Daddy could care less. And he has a right to be happy. So I asked my oldest brother, Wayne, I said, how she look, Wayne? He said, she ain't bad. I'd date her myself if I could. I said, yeah, wow, man. Good Lord. He said, she's only 2 years older than me. Can you believe it? I said, well, maybe that is Abraham. We might have us a little Isaac next time. Who knows? He said, Deborah wouldn't call him Isaac. She'd call him Ishmael. I said, I don't know.
Isn't that something? Isn't that something?
But my dad has always loved the Lord, and God's always taken care of him. Or if you mention my mother, his tears come up in his eyes in a second. And she went home to be with the Lord in 1982. You mention Esther, tears will come up in his eyes. I guess you mention this woman's smile come on his face. I guess I don't know. That's all I know. So Deborah said, you're the preacher of the family. What's going to happen if Daddy gets raptured? I said, what? What happens if the rapture church comes? The Bible said dead and Christ going to rise first. So Mama going to hit the clouds first. Then Esther going to hit the clouds. Then Daddy and that woman going to hit the clouds. What do you think Mama going to say? I said, well, you know Daddy and I know Daddy. Mama going to say, who's that woman Esther? And who's that other woman, Paul? Daddy going to say, I ain't never seen her before in my life, girl. I don't know who you are. I know my daddy, son. He would never buck my mama. My mama ran the house. Daddy was the head of the house, but Mama was the boss. She let him be the head, but she turned his head anytime she wants. This kind of it's just the truth. Women are powerful, man. Especially, man, my mama was a 220-pound Cajun woman. Fight you like a man, son. That's right. Daddy always liked kind of plump women. He believed in fat. He liked fat. I said, that's okay, Daddy. He said, that's all right. I said, oh, yeah, that's fine. Me, Dad, I don't care. I don't want to talk about this, Daddy. It's kind of hard talking to your daddy about it. You like a fat woman? No, I don't want to talk about that. Daddy, forgive me. I said, it made no difference to me because if you fat and you like you, I like you. That ain't none of my business. I tell people that all the time. I make some people mad. I said, listen, ain't none of my business. I told that to Kathy the other day. I said, I don't care if you get 300 pounds or you stay your weight. I didn't marry your body. I just want you to be healthy. Because, you know, because that menopause done kicked in. Boy, menopause is a trip, man. I mean, they're just sitting there. All of a sudden, they bucket break out in a sweat. You go, wham! Just got a hot flash. I said, what's the matter? Shut up! Okay, yeah, all right. What you say? I mean, just for some apparent reason, just go off the wall, you know. You know what menopause means? Men, pause. I mean, that. They get them hot flashes. Kathy's always been, let me close it. Kathy's always been cold. I mean, I have sweat like a Missouri mule, Mary. I've been married to that woman 37 years. Lord Jesus, we'd have 97 degree weather in New Orleans and 100% humidity. I'm talking it's Africa hot, you understand? My house is 80 degrees inside. She said, Jesse, can you raise the air conditioner up? It's so cold in here. Cold woman, we're sweating like mules in here, you know? But now that she got menopause, she's just hot, just hot, just hot. She said, put the air conditioner on. Oh, yeah, I'll do that real quick. I mean, and the other day I come walking in, Lord Jesus, I couldn't believe it. It was 1:30, 2 o'clock in the morning. I walk into my bedroom, there's Kathy, no clothes on. I just looked at her. She said, I'm hot. I went, I give you praise in the sanctuary. I give you praise. Hey! Hey! I thought, wow! I love menopause. Menopause is great. Man, I got my lean back. What's up, Kathy? What's up, girl? That's all I can tell you. I can't tell you no more. Don't let this white hair fool you now. That's all I can tell you. Don't let this white hair fool you. I couldn't get over that. Oh, some of you young men, wait. Oh, wait. Wait till that time hits. How many men know what I'm talking about? Don't lift your hand up for God's sake. Keep your hand down. I think some of y'all got a hot flash now. Look at that. They just went, oh, Jesus, help us. Look at that. You quit waving. You're having a hot flash right there. I can see it. I see it there. Oh. Glory to God. Help us, Jesus. See, casting all you can. I can't believe he said that. I could care less. Thought I was off the message. That's not being rude. You see, it's casting it. It's such a wonderful thing to be free. Did you enjoy it tonight? Yeah. Give the Lord a hand clap. What a blessing. Now, I appreciate Pastor Lewis allowing me to share a vision before an offering's received. Then I'm going to pray for you in just a minute. How many of you get my partner letter or you get my magazine? Hold your hand up. Would you stand to your feet if you get my partner letter or my magazine? Now, I want you to keep standing. The rest of you keep seat. Look at all these people. You're the reason why we're reaching over 2.5 billion people. We average 6,000 phone calls a week. Of that 6,000 phone calls, 4,500 of them are people being born again from Dubai all the way to Hong Kong and all points in between. Our ministry is literally growing. Partners, you're the ones that do that. It's totally debt-free. We owe nobody nothing but to love them. Our offices in Europe is debt-free. Our offices is in Australia debt-free. I mean, I have physical people working for me. I mean, it's going on right now as I speak. Because in Australia, it's Monday. Right now, you're a day ahead. Say it's Monday. God has been so good and gracious. And you know, Kathy told me to do this. The other day, we was in Australia. And all the partners that help us every month, bless us, it's because of you. People give me the accolades, but you're the reason why this ministry floats. You're the reason why this ministry is doing the things. All I am is just a voice or a person they see. But when people give me compliments, I say, well, you know, you need to tell our partners about that, because it wouldn't have been for them, we wouldn't be here. So all you people that are sitting down, would you give these people a hand clap for being so kind? Thank you. You may be seated. The Lord said, give honor to whom honor is due. Now, this offering in its entirety, 100% of it, none of it goes to any expenses I have. I never charge a church when I come. Am I correct, Lewis? I don't give him fuel bills. And there are a lot of people, well, you ask them to come, they'll give you that fuel bill. They'll give you, and there's nothing wrong with taking care of somebody if you ask them to come. But, you know, I take care of my own expenses just in the last 15 months. Watch it. I have sold into churches just in fuel that they would have paid. Now, I preach in convention where all the other guys were charging them $681,000 in jet fuel. I was talking to Andrew. Andrew is around here somewhere. And, $681,000 or $82,000 that normally you would give that to churches, you know, so this is what it costs for us to come. We never charge anybody. We come and we just live by faith. We receive our offering and we believe God. Now, let me just say this. This offering in its entirety, none of it's going to meet my expenses to come here, mine. Why? Because I take care of that. I sow that as seed into your life. Every time you see Jesse the Planet preaching in a church, in a convention, TBN, whatever, when I'm preaching live, an offering is received, none of it goes to take care of what to operate our ministry. 100% of that money goes into projects that God has given us to do. That's a miracle of the Lord, because we debt-free. We owe nobody nothing. We have about $60 million worth of projects ongoing right now as we speak in our ministry. What I'm really excited about, and if you don't mind this offering tonight, I'm going to place it toward that, if it's okay with you, because this is your money and not mine. Because of the great influx of people calling us, people getting born again. I mean, it's amazing. Friday night, we had at least 300 people walk forward. Friday night I was in Augusta, Georgia. Thursday night I was in Milwaukee, Wisconsin, at the Great Lakes Believers Convention. I had at least 400 there. The night before that, I can't remember. Guys, do y'all remember where it was? We were in so many different cities. On an average, anywhere, 150 to 200 people every night, constant in these meetings getting born again. Well, these people calling, so we have to service our partners and minister to them. Now we're doubling and almost tripling our television ministry. We're building 16 different offices right now to handle just the influx of what's coming in. God has been so good and gracious because people trust us and they believe in us and we do what we say. So if you don't mind, I'm going to place this offering tonight toward that outreach. In other words, I've already paid for the construction of it, but now I got to fill it up with editing bays and things of that nature so we can respond to all these people. And, you know, I got a figure, but I just made up my mind. Whatever you give is greatly appreciated. And it costs a lot of money to stay on television, but let me give you this announcement, partners. My television ministry is already paid for a year in advance. Give Jesus a hand clap. That is a true blessing of the Lord. We always live ahead. We never live behind. But we ask you to give to this ministry. And don't give me anything that belongs to this church. Don't give me anything that belongs to your church. I am a man of integrity when it comes to finances. I don't want anything like your tithe. That ought to stay here in your church to be a blessing to your community, because your church is doing some great and marvelous things. But if the Lord moves upon you to give in this offering, I am believing God. It's going to take about $350,000, really, just to put the desk and all the different things and the computers and all that kind of stuff. And then you're getting into more money with high-definition TV stuff. I don't know. I've already bought millions of dollars worth of that stuff. But if you don't mind, I am going to take this offering 100%. And I'm going to place it toward that. Now, don't get mad at me when you get to heaven. There'll be a bunch of Arabs in your front yard. No, they'll be saved. They'll be saved. Our ministry now is translated in Arabic, Hebrew, English, Farsi, and Persian. I have been at, listen to this. You want a miracle of God? Lieutenant Colonel called me in Kuwait and said, Jesse, the Arab network Al Jazeera is playing your program right now. Now, they hate Americans and they hate preachers, but they like me. God. Thank you, Jesus. I've been invited to preach in Dubai, in Afghanistan, Kuwait, in Iraq. And I'm going. I'm going to do it. I just hadn't the time to book all this because I'm running nine into nothing right now. But isn't that a miracle of the Lord Jesus? Muslims call us all the time. I want to talk to God. I want to talk to God. Seem like you talk to God so easily. How come I can't talk to God like you talk to God? I said, you're talking to the wrong God. That's the reason why you're not talking to God. You just got to help them out here. And it's just such a blessing. So I am believing God to pay, and everything I do, I pay cash. Nothing wrong with borrowing money. I'm not against borrowing money, but this ministry is totally debt-free, and as long as I'm the head of it, it'll stay that way. So 100% of what you're giving is going toward that. Ushers, if you'll pass out our offering envelopes right now, that is a Jesse the Planet's Ministries offering envelope. If you're writing a check out, you'll make it out to JDM, and you'll get a tax-deductible receipt for your giving. If you're giving cash, please print your name legibly so I can receipt you. We observe the laws of the United States of America. We do things right. And number three, for you people that no longer carry cash or checks, you want these computer savvy people, you give online, internet, website, debit cards. If you're giving cards, a lot of people handle their finances different. If you're one of those card givers, you can put that number on that envelope. Please seal the offering envelope if you put a card number on, as far as your giving is concerned, because our integrity and security of our ministry is so powerful, no one can steal your identity. The head of Microsoft told me I had better security than the United States government. Well, I refuse to allow anyone to steal your identity. Now, if you want to tell people what you give to this ministry, it's your business. But we legally have to do that. Now, if it's going to cost, I'm going to believe God for $350,000. I'll believe for 350 people to give $1,000. That'll take care of the desks and computers and all that kind of stuff. And we'll just go on from there. God's been so good and gracious. So I'm going to ask you to do your best, if you don't mind. Whatever you give is greatly appreciated, and 100% of it's going. I will take care of my expenses here, all those kind of things, for myself to come here and things of that nature. And I have people in hotels, and they're getting food, and you know, cost of the jet. People say, how much it costs to fly that jet? I don't really know. I don't really care. I could care less. Now, I have a budget. It's common sense. I'm a good businessman. But, you know, we operate on the top of the barrel, not the bottom of the barrel. So, but I didn't know faith. It took a lot of faith to fill that barrel. It takes a lot of faith to keep that barrel full. Can you believe God with me? How many of y'all believe God with me? I'll get $350,000 in the next 6 weeks. Hold your hand up. Okay, that's fine. That's all. I'll believe God. That's all I think. I'll put it toward that. And I guarantee you, man, it'll be invested into the work of the Lord. Even the IRS cannot get over what I do in my ministry. The biggest giver to Jesse Duplantis Ministries is Jesse Duplantis. And they can't get over it. They think I'm crazy. All the books, the videos, the DVDs, all that is my money. I give 100% of it to God's work. God's never asked me for it. The IRS can't believe I do that. They think I'm crazy. The IRS. You know how much I've sold? Total, not in 1 year, but total. $167 million worth that I have placed into the kingdom of God. Me. I told you I ain't broke. Oh, you looking at one blessed puppy here, son. I want to let you know. I got to watch what I say because I just get it. I'm serious. But I'm superior to that power instead of driven by it. I just signed a major contract with Simon & Schuster on books. I'm telling Lord Jesus, they say, you are so unique. You're a brand. And I said, well, just send the money to God's work. Why? Why? I can't. And the IRS said, do you know, Reverend, we take about $60 million of that. You'd have like $107 million in liquid cash. I said, no, but you don't understand. You don't understand. I said, the Bible said when the gospel is preached to the world, the end shall come. I just want to get out of here. And if it takes money to finance the ministry, that's fine. Hey, you think that's something. I have got $60 million worth of projects on my table right now. But what God's pushing me to do is to believe for $6 billion so I can buy 14 satellites. You don't think? 14, seven low orbit, seven high orbit. I said, God, what are you doing? I said, did he have that much money in the world? And the other day I was called to New York. I sat down and ate dinner with $100 billion represented around the table. They said, Reverend, we're interested in your idea. What can we do for you? I said, not a thing. I said, it's not complete yet. God hadn't given me the fullest revelation. I'm going to get more light on it and let you know. Well, I'll tell you one thing. That's a phenomenal idea. See, I learned something. I'm tired of paying ABC, CBS, NBC, and Fox. And all the other Christian satellites. Nothing wrong with that. I said, what about if I got my own satellite? Then I would charge ABC, CBS, NBC, and Fox. Wait. Then I'd charge the cell phone company. Then all of a sudden the wealth of the sinner is paying for the just. The average income would be about $3 billion a year. Billion with a B. That's why they want to get involved in this. What am I going to do with that money? I don't need that money. I tell you what I'm going to do with it. I'm going to pay off churches. I'm going to come to places. How many of y'all got mortgages on your house? I do. Line up, boys. Let's go. Write them out. Pop, pop, pop. What are you going to do with the money? What are you going to do with it if you're not paying television all these astronomical bills? Do you understand what I'm saying? See, to money to me is a tool, just a simple tool. I got money. I'll show it to you. I got money. Here it is right here. This is money. This is a she money. She don't know I got it. Man got to do what a man got to do. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Yeah, I ain't concerned about that. Jody told me that. Daddy, I'm 35 years old. You and mama can do anything. I said, yes. Yes. I said, isn't that wonderful, Jody? I said, we're good business people. I said, God has been so gracious. People can't get over that. I still eat Wendy's hamburgers. Popeye chicken. I can't eat too much of it anymore. The Lord began to deal with me about it. So, because I was eating too much of it, Lord Jesus. He said, you can eat that once in a while, Jesse, but not every day. I love cholesterol. I got a low cholesterol count. I mean, I'm in good shape. That's not the issue. But boy, I said, I guess the Lord's starting to speak to me. The other day, my brother-in-law like to fell out. I said, I'll take y'all to lunch, you and Christine and me and Kathy. Christine is Kathy's sister. So he said, where you want to go to Popeye's? I said, no, drive by Popeye's. I just want to take a couple of nose hits. He said, what? I said, just drive by. Oh, yeah, I got it. Okay, let's go get a salad. It's so funny. I'm going to ask you to do your best. I am reaching people, changing lives, one soul at a time. Not one nickel of it will go to me. 100% of it's going toward that television outreach. So when somebody gets saved in China, I won't get the credit for that. I'm telling you, when I get to heaven, you'll be further up the front of the line than I will, because you're the one done it. I'm just a vehicle God used to bring it. That's it. That's it. And I really mean that sincerely. That's why I don't get the big head. That's so stupid to get the big head. That's ridiculous, you know. Jesus Christ and him crucified. Hold your offering up to the Lord. I want to pray over it. Now, I also believe in the 30, 60, and 100 fold. I'm good soil. How many of y'all want to increase your income? Oh, yeah. Oh, wave it at the Lord. Nothing wrong with that. Ain't nothing wrong. God said you can be financially solvent, financially, but I want you not only to be debt-free, I'd like you to be the amount of debt that you have to have that kind of liquid in a bank somewhere so you can do whatever you need to do. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Father, in Jesus' name, I decree and declare the 30, 60, and 100-fold return over every one of these offerings. These people have been so courteous and kind to me. I ask you to bless them, Lord, like you've blessed me. Now, Father, I need to fill up that place with desks and computers and all kinds of things so we can, Lord, service the people that are calling, service the people that you have got born again through this ministry. Lord, bless my partners. Give me my 1 million partners, Lord. And I'll add a billion people to that telecast. Lord, I thank you for it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Go ahead and receive the offering. And whether you gave a dollar or $1,000, I believe in the 100-fold return. I'm telling you, you get ready to get blessed. God's word will come to pass. Thank you for being so courteous and kind. While they're receiving the offer, just play me something soft. That'd be fine. Hallelujah. I can't leave this place without giving you an opportunity. And it's a great opportunity to meet my friend. You see, I know this Jesus. Yeah. No, I not just know about him. I know this Jesus. You know, I have a really unique, people say, you have such a unique relationship. No, I have a fellowship with the Lord. I spend throne time. I was telling my brother, brought me from the airport. I said, throne time is not church time. Church time is school time. That's where you learn application, then you go out the next day and apply it. Throne time is you and God alone. Throne time is not at church. Church time is school time. That's why God said, forsake not the assembling of yourselves. Why? Because, see, that's where you learn how to apply the next day and the day after and the day after till you get and receive what you've been believing for. I very seldom ever ask God for anything. Jody asked me the other day, Dad, do you ever ask God for stuff? I said, before I ask, he answers. Did I tell you I have to watch what I say because I get it? I love motorcycles. I'm a motorcycle guy. I like them, you know. Harley Davidson, I love Jesus. I saw a beautiful motorcycle the other day. I just looked. I went, look at that pretty motorcycle. That's all I said. 2 days later, it was given to me. I said, Lord, I didn't ask for that. He said, I know, but I saw you look at it and you liked it. I said, well, Lord, he said, can't I bless my children? I said, I'm your boy. Then the other day, I blessed the Lord with a great gift. He said, Jesse, I didn't ask you for that. I said, can I bless my father? He says, yes, you can. I'm your God. I said, I just wanted to. I said, use it for whatever you think. Doesn't make any difference. I literally have that kind of relationship and fellowship with God. We talk one-on-one. It is so wonderful to have that in my life. One time I made a mistake. I was in Australia. Kathy didn't come with me. And I shouldn't have said this. But what I meant it in a good way. She said, I called her. She said, hey, how's it mean? I said, it's going great. I tell you what, Kathy, oh, I wish you could have come. She said, do you miss me? I said, no. God, and I knew I said the wrong thing. I said, no, because it got kind of quiet, you know. I said, what I meant was the Lord's been with me and having such a wonderful time. Yeah, I miss you, woman. You lying. No, I ain't lying. I said, no, I do. I said, God has filled up every minute of the day. She said, well, just make sure you come back home with some great reports. I said, well, I certainly will, and I did. So now that the offering's passed, would you please stand to your feet? What time is it? For your time, it's 8:35, which means you ain't going to bed till at least 10 o'clock. Probably going to have to watch the news first before you go to bed. Most people are news hounds to start with. So many people here tonight. I'm amazed that you would come out. We've been praying for the state of Ohio with all the devastation that's been happening. We can understand floods. You know, we came out of Hurricane Katrina. You know, I've been in that mess. I know what all that stuff is. But thank God, my place wasn't damaged, but I was able to help so many other people to get them on their feet. That's not an easy thing. I'd like to introduce you to God. Do you know God or do you know about him? Most people went to church most of the time. They go to church all their life. They may know a lot about God, but do you know God? That's called getting saved for the first time. I'd like to introduce you to my friend so you know the Lord instead of know about him. Now, I used to stop there. That's how I was trained as a doctor of divinity until the Lord arrested my mind and said, always take it further. Maybe you're in this building today and you're struggling with your Christianity. Oh, no, you're not backslidden to hell by no means, but these temptations are getting the best of you. You want to quit that so you can get so close to God that when temptations come, you go, what? Get out of here. Would you give me the honor of going to the throne and say, Lord, here's a man, here's a woman. They're struggling with their Christianity. Temptations are getting the best of them. But, Lord, tough times don't last. Tough people do. So with your head bowed, please, if you'd like to know God instead of just knowing about him, that's called getting saved for the first time. Or, and be honest with yourself, you're struggling with your Christianity. No, you're not backslidden to hell, but you're not living the way you should live, and you need to come back to God. Some people call it rededicate. That's a wonderful word, but it's something better than that. It's called selling out. Maybe a preacher hurt you. Maybe a Christian hurt you. Maybe I hurt you. If I did, I apologize. Would you give me the honor of going to the throne and say, Lord, these people will get so close to you that anything the devil ever shows them again will not be attractive at all. So if you'd like to know God instead of just knowing about him, or you're not where you should be with God, you want to quit these temptations so you can go over that, would you lift your hand up? Hold your hand up when I see it and acknowledge it. You may put your hand up. Yes, I see those hands. Yes, I see those hands. All over the building, I see your hand. Way in the back, I see your hand. You may put your hand down. Could I see others quickly? Yes, ma'am. I see your hand. Yes, sir. I see the hand way in the back. I see your hand. Thank you. You may put your hand down. Up here in the front, I see your hand, young man. You may put your hand down. Thank you. Now, those hands mean one of two things. That lifted hand saying, Brother Jesse, I got to be honest. I know a lot about God, but I don't know God. I need to get saved. Or that lifted hand is saying, I'm struggling, Brother Jesse. I'm struggling. No, I'm not backslidden to hell, but I'm not living the way I should live, and I need to draw closer so these temptations won't look that good. Could I see another hand quickly? Thank you. I see those hands. Yes, I do. Yes, I do. I see those hands in the back here in the middle section. I see your hand. I want everyone to look at me. I would never lie to any of you people. I've had so many people lie to me. I don't know why. I told the Lord, if you ever do anything with my life, I would live this gospel. I have kept that promise. Many of you lifted your hand. That took some integrity. You thought about it for a minute and you went, that's me. That's me. That took character. You know what character is? Character is what you do when you're alone, not when you're in front of people. You really find out your character when you're alone. That's the real you. Many of you lifted your hand. I'm going to ask you to do something harder than this. Why? Because you're a person of integrity and character. You lifted your hand. I'm going to ask every one of you that lifted your hand, not some of you, to get your Bible or your purse or whatever you brought with you. I don't care if it's your kids, whatever. I'm going to ask you to get out of your seat and come stand here in front of everybody. What's wrong with that? Jesus hung on a cross in front of everybody. He's not asking you to do that, but he is asking you to make a statement of your faith. If you lifted your hand, get your personal belongings and things, get out of your seat and come. Give them a hand clap as they come from all. So, but I didn't know faith took a lot. Just come on. Come on. Give them a good hand clap. Come on. You can do better than that. Give them a great hand clap as people come. Just come and line up right here. Hallelujah. Come on, come on. You can stand up if you want, or you can kneel. You can do whatever you like to do. Come on, give them a hand clap as they come. Just pile them up in here, brother. Just put them up in here. Hallelujah. Come on, just get a little closer here if you don't mind. Look at the people coming. Come on, give them a better hand clap than that. What a blessing. Oh, glory. Thank you, Lord. Look at the people. I want all of you that have come forward to look at me. You that are kneeling, if you don't mind, if you'll stand up for just a minute. I just want you to look at me. I want to look at you. I want to pray with you. I'm going to ask you to pray a prayer with me. It's not a prayer of feeling. See, I used to think if I didn't feel God, he was mad at me, or I'd done something wrong, and I thought, man, what's the use? I can't live like this. And the Lord said, you don't pray by feeling, you pray by faith. You know what I said? I said, God, I may be wrong in saying this, but I need to feel. I really do. I don't know about you people. I need a Jesus with skin on him. I don't need a God over there. I'm not over there. I need this. Jesus, Jesse, I need that. I'm going to ask you to pray this prayer. I'm going to ask you to repeat it with your heart and confess it with your mouth. When we finish this prayer, you will know God instead of just knowing about him, or you'll draw so close that when a temptation comes, you go, that? You think that's going to turn my head? You're living in a dream world. Are you ready? I'm going to ask everybody in the audience to pray this prayer with us. Let's pray it together. Lord Jesus, I ask you to come into my life and forgive me of all my sins. I confess my sin before you this day. I denounce Satan and all his works. I confess Jesus as the Lord of my life. Thank you for saving me and for bringing me back to where I once was. I believe with my heart and I confess with my mouth that Jesus rose from the dead. I am saved. Write my name in the Lamb's Book of Life. And today is my God day with the Lord Jesus. I pray this prayer to the Father in the name of Jesus. Amen. Stand right there for just a minute. Give him a hand clap. You made it! Hey! Wasn't that easy? That wasn't hard, was it? That's pretty simple. Wasn't that easy? Wasn't that easy? Wonder why the church world make it so hard. It's not hard. Well, I've said it thousands of times. I got to say it again. Guess what? Guess what? Y'all going to spend eternity with me. I'm a nice guy. I mean, we're going to heaven together. Ain't that something? Right now, Jesus come. We're going to heaven. I don't know and you don't know. Lady, I may live next door to you in heaven. Wouldn't that be something? I'd be at your house every day. I'll stick my head in your window. Hey, Jesse here. I'm going to have brown hair and a tight body. Glory to God. I'm going to be young. Come on, give the Lord a big God bless you. Wasn't that easy? You want to take these people somewhere? Hallelujah. Let me just look at you for a minute. God, let me just look at that. Because you see, I'm going to promise you something. You will never, ever, ever, ever be a day without prayer. We will pray for you. My ministry will pray for you. Me and Kathy. If you ever come to the city of New Orleans, you'll come into my office. Thousands of pictures of people all over the walls. That's not an exaggeration. I ask people to send me pictures. See, I don't want a computer printout. I'm the only one in that ministry that got a key that can open up everything. And I'll get home later than anybody. By the time I stop at the office, open them, and I go see those thousands of pictures, and I begin to pray. We have a full staff of people. I pay them to pray. That's their job. They go to work. They pray till 5 o'clock. 9 of them praying. Because I found some prayers, boy. I mean, they'll rattle the rafters, son. I mean, they know how to pray. Plus, we know how to pray. And that's a wonderful thing. God is so good and gracious. I thank you for coming out and for being a part of this. Come on up here, brother. That'd be fine. In just a minute, I'm going to ask this brother here to talk to you for a second. Before I do that, keep standing right there. Some of you may have a physical problem. You know, there's nothing wrong with this white-headed body of mine. Isn't that a miracle of Jesus? I'm 58 years old. I look older because my hair's so white. But it's my hair. Hold on. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I spray it. Look, it did it move? The other day a fly hit it and bounced off the... Boom! It just bounced off. I want to pray for people that have... Maybe you have a physical ailment. So just bow your heads, everybody. Let me just... Father, I feel good, Lord. And I want people to feel good. So I come against cancer and diabetes, high blood pressure, crippling arthritis, infectious disorder of every kind. Lord, I bind it in the name of Jesus. Satan, I get great pleasure in telling you to get under these people's feet, that what we bind on earth is bound in heaven. I come against the symptoms of old age. I bind it in the name of Jesus. I come against the curse of poverty, that people won't struggle no more financially, Lord. Because if you El Shaddai, all they need is something from you, and that takes care of that problem. Father, I decree and declare health. I declare and declare wealth
in this building in every area, spiritually, physically, financially. I thank you, God, that people are receiving that right now. Well, when they get in that car, their back won't hurt, Lord. The kidney problem is gone. The lump in the breast is gone, Father. That toothache that's been giving them trouble, when they go to the dentist tomorrow, they will not have to get it extracted. Lord, I decree and declare the word of the living God that by your stripes they are healed in the mighty name of Jesus. Give the Lord a standing ovation for answering that prayer. Come on, give him a good one. Woo, glory! What a blessing of the Lord. What a blessing of the Lord. My God, my God, my God. Now you heard this sermon. You ain't have to care about nothing no more. You cast it off. Get out of here. It's okay to be concerned about something, but don't let it develop the care. Cast it off. I refuse to worry. I will not worry. Fear tolerated is faith contaminated. I will not contaminate the preciousness of faith in my life through some dumb thing called fear, through something called worry that's produced into care. I humble myself. So when something big arises, I say, well, Lord, you got a job. He says, I do. Get out of the way, Jesse. Let me handle this situation. We have a wonderful time. Stand right there just for a minute. Give the Lord a hand clap as our brother comes.